Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everyone doing on Leap Day? Did you get visited by Leap Day Williams?
It should be March, but it's not.
So funny. Thank you, Dirty Rock.
Someone linked to that insane Ask a Manager where someone's birthday was on Leap Day and their manager refused give them the day off that everyone else got for their birthday because they didn't have a birthday that year. They only got it on their actual birthday. And it was like,
I totally forgot about that.
Still the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. And they were like, why is my employee being such a baby?
Damn it, we missed Leap Day. Free idea for the Young Bucks, but they missed it already.
Oh, man. What a bummer. Whose kayfabe birthday should be Leap Day?
Oh, my God, I don't know. But it would be so funny for the Bucks to be like, oh, you don't get a birthday banner. Well, I guess it is a leap year, so it wouldn't work. You don't get a birthday banner because you don't have a birthday this year.
There's no birthday.
You don't get a pizza party. Well, I'm going to a leap baby birthday this weekend. Oh, I'm excited to see what their traditions are.
How old are they?
The Leap Day babies. Well, I think he's turning like 8 or something.
Okay, that's nice.
No, that's not. I can't be right.
Did you buy him eight?
I think it's 8.
Buy him a little Lego set.
Not yet, but that's a good idea. I probably rummage through my. I'm at that age where now you kind of have a present bin. So at the last minute before a lot of events, you go rummage through the present bin to see like what do we got that we could re-gift.
Pull a little candle out of there, a little bath bomb. Yeah.
The only problem with the present bin really is that my memory is so bad that sometimes I'll pull something out and be like, "Could I get this to this person?" And then be like, "Did I get it from that person?" So hard to say.
Yeah. You got to really start leaving post-it notes to yourself to be like,
that's smart.
Where did I acquire this scarf?
That is right. That's a good point, Leah. I'm going to take that under advisement. Any news from the week? Anything you want to share about your weeks and your lives? Your hopes, your fears, your dreams?
It was quite warm here, so I got to sit outside in the sun on the weekend, which... was pretty exciting. That's my final form, you know.
That's where I supposed to say to me right now. I'm never going to see warmth again.
Move south.
God.
Yeah, Leah, move south. We did get that warm weather, but then it went away. It got cold again. And then today, I thought it was 20 degrees outside because all morning my toes were going numb. And I'm putting on socks and slippers, and it's not that normal for me. It happens sometimes, usually in only one toe. Are you guys loving this story? But yeah. It's happening on all different. It was like musical toes. Every time one toe came back to life, another toe went numb. I was like, must be 20 degrees out there.
Would the toes be like next to each other, or would it just be like
no,
one totally toe on one foot?
One toe, yeah, they're popping all over the place, like little...
Wow, like a whack-a-mole?
Prairie dogs, yeah. Mm. And then I went outside, and I got in the car to go on an errand I can't get into right now, and I looked at the temperature, and it was 50 degrees out, and then my big toe went numb on my errand and didn't come back to life for an hour, so I'm dying.
Were they cold to the touch when you touched them, or?
Well, I didn't touch them. I was driving, Ann.
Well, it didn't sound like you were driving the whole time. Your toes were numb.
Well, I wasn't touching them then either, but because I've had them in my socks and in my slippies. But I have only one toe that does this, and it does go cold to the touch, and it is like Raynaud's or whatever. I mean, that's like how it kind of manifests. Mm-hmm. But it's usually only the one and only sometimes. This was very extreme, but it was 50 degrees out, so I don't know what to do with
sometimes
that.
Sometimes your body just gets stressed, you know?
Yeah. This is kind of like a medical condition podcast now. If anyone else wants to share, you know, what their body's been up to this week or...
Hasn't been good. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Amen, sister.
No. I've given up sleeping. As like a little.
Oh, Leah, you did something crazy this week.
Yeah, did you sleep better last night? Like, did you catch up?
No.
I don't love to hear that.
It's kind of a zag there.
Don't love to hear that at all.
I underslept for a normal night, But I would like, I'd slept 2.5 hours the night before. So I really needed like a solid like 9. And I think I got 6, which is.
Listeners, she woke up for the day at 1:30.
Yeah. Is that correct? I fell asleep at like 11 and woke up at 1:30 and was just like, no matter what I did, I was wide fucking asleep. And the night before I had trouble sleeping and I'd taken melatonin and was like incredibly groggy and fucked up. So I didn't want to take melatonin again, but I didn't know that what was going to happen, that I just wouldn't sleep. So
now, you know, my hot melatonin tip. I know not everyone, doesn't work for everyone. Just take 1 little milligram.
I know. I don't have.
It works great for me, actually. That was a good tip.
I know. I need to take a, I need to buy a smaller, like, dosage because I bought the stupid dissolvable tablets, so I can't, like, really cut it in half because it just crumbles. Oh, I just crumbles. Take
little nipples.
Yeah.
Just take little nipples out of them. You it don't crumbles. Like that? You don't well, like crumbles. Yeah, they crumble, then they're in there crumby. You just need a little bit
that.
Of
no, I don't like that at all.
You can get a 1 milligram dosage for children, but I haven't done it because they are charging as much for 31 milligram pills as they're charging, actually a little more, as they are for 35 milligram pills. And I think that that is fucked up. So I've refused to do it and I just nibble my little pills.
Now I feel like a sucker because I did buy the children's melatonin after you told me the 1 milligram works better.
Well, I've almost done it quite a few times. I don't think it's a great aspect of my character, really, that I'm like, no, I'm just gonna keep having a little tub full of melatonin. Every night I reach in there, nibble. I rummage around to try and find a little remainder that looks approximately the right size. And I sip that. I don't think it's amazing, Anne. I think it's probably better that you just bought the 1 milligram dosage.
You're right. I did it for my dignity, so that's worth the cash for me.
But I am glad to hear that you found that effective.
It was impressive. Yeah, I was startled, but I don't take it very often,
This is because, readers, I just read a study about how actually most melatonin dosages that you get for adults are so high that they cause the side effects that people don't like about melatonin, and you really only need a teeny little bit to send you off to dreamland. And now I kind of feel like I own that study because I'm so proud of the fact that it worked.
We're giving out so many scientific studies on this. We're talking about dopamine from cold showers. We're talking about melatonin dosage. Maybe we should all bring a little science fun fact every week and just open the show with that.
That'd be really fun. You know, I was thinking that, you know, when we did What's Making Me Happy this week, and sometimes I got a little, you two would look at me like, I don't want to do that this week, but then we had such fun discussions based on it that I think the time could be coming to bring back a little...
When did we do that last year?
This week.
What month?
Once we did it during the summer.
Yeah. We did it during the summer, but is it like we hit the equinox and like once the days are longer than the nights, we're in What's Making Me Happy territory?
Maybe so. Just chew on it. Leah's looking at me like, I don't like when I have to say, but you had great, didn't you bring great things that were making you happy to the pod? And didn't we have robust, fascinating discussions about them? I'm sure we did.
Name one thing that I brought to the pod.
Something fun, I think. I don't even remember what I brought to the pod, Leah. I just know that we enjoyed it. And I think it could be coming back soon. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun?
We kind of, you have like a summer camp activities director vibe right now. And I honestly love it. I could use some activities directing in my life, I think.
Thank you, Anne. Anne is loving this. And Leah, you're going to be loving it too. I'm putting it on the schedule next week. Unilateral decision making.
When it's in the schedule.
Wait until the temperature is over 60. I can't be doing that. It's not even spring yet. Nothing's making
wait.
Me
so
happy.
We can wait till
nothing's
June.
Making you happy.
I don't think that's cold.
I don't think
Supernatural
okay, check in.
Did you finish Supernatural?
No, because now everybody wants to watch it with me because it's the last season. And so now I have to rearrange everybody's schedules. So now I'm watching Riverdale.
Are we no. Listen, it was just a rough week. We're going to be finishing Supernatural this coming week. That's going to make you so happy. It's going to make you really happy. She's literally trying to leave the pod right now. She's gotten out of her seat. She's wandering
I had to fix
off.
My chair. I would like to finish Supernatural. I would like to.
Yeah, we're going to.
It's good to accomplish a goal.
We're going to. I'm also like really menstruating, so I'm like I'm not sleeping, and my insides are like ripping out. So I'm just like, well, nothing's ever made me happy ever.
In the winter, we should do what's making me sad this week.
Oh my
god!
What
is the saddest feeling that you encountered this week? And that's how
it
we
wouldn't
got,
be good for us. We that's how do it.
We lose all of our listeners.
Yeah, because it would just be like, welcome to therapy. I had a rough one yesterday, which I did, and then I had a rough one again today. But you know what? I'm still here. The medication is not working.
That's right.
I'm still here.
Hell yeah. That's the inspiration that this podcast brings you every week. We show up, even when it's been a rough week in wrestling or in our lives, or both.
We put out a podcast. Is it coherent? Is it good? Who knows? But we sure put it out.
You know what? I think it's good because we always end it happier than we started.
That's right. True.
What other metric are we supposed to use? Other people's enjoyment? No, our enjoyment, our health, our minds, our bodies. Okay. You want to talk about wrestling?
Yeah.
Well,
you don't have a choice. You didn't really jump to say yes either. Okay, so the structure today, I did just take all of the Revolution matches that we know about, and we're going to go through storyline by storyline and just check in on what we think might happen on Sunday. And we won't have been jossed because it will have come out hours before the pay-per-view starts. Yeah.
Love a Sunday pay-per-view.
If you're listening to the pod on Sunday morning, we have so many possibilities ahead of us. If you're listening to this pod on Monday, don't make fun
of us.
Don't
talk to us. No one can make fun of us because we're not even going to commit that hard. We've learned our lesson. We don't commit that hard to anything. Okay, we are going to start by talking about this week's debut, which was Will Ospreay at Dynamite in Huntsville, Alabama. Will Ospreay, he came out in this little green tracksuit, and then he called himself Kermit the Frog. He said, I look like Kermit the Frog. Immediately, I'm on board. He beamed around at the crowd. He embraced Tony Schiavone so energetically. He told us all how very happy he is to be here. And then I believe he said, I'm affiliated with the Don Callis family, and that's been going great. Don Callis's music drops. Callis family comes out and really brings the tone down a little. Don monologued while getting booed vigorously by the crowd. Ospreay made a series of faces that were kind of like, okay, something's going on here. Takeshita and Ospreay had a little tug of war over their let's have a good game handshake, and they will fight at Revolution. But don't worry, all is well in the Callis family. What'd you guys think of this this introduction to Ospreay in AEW?
I get so mad when people do like the very bad faith, like, casual wrestling fans don't need to be pandered to. They don't need 20-minute packages. If they could Google it, if they get confused or whatever. And I'm always like, but like, you don't, that's not the only option. Like, you can do other things to introduce people. And I thought that this was like a perfect way. Like, we all know who Will Ospreay is now because we've been watching for a couple of years. But if we were brand new fans, he walked in. He told us that he came from New Japan, that he's new to the company. He gave us a little idea of his vibe. And then they brought out Don Callis and did enough of a back and forth that you're like, oh, I see exactly what's going to happen here. You're on Don Callis' side for now, but not for long. So now you're established. Like, I figured out where you are in the company. Like, if we were brand new fans, we would have understood so much more than we've ever fucking understood about Samoa Joe.
I mean, absolutely. And honestly, I have no quibbles really with Ospreay's presentation at AEW before, like the times that we've met him. But if this had been our first introduction, we immediately would have been like, I like that man who said he's Kermit the Frog.
Yes. He instantly was like, this is who I am. This is who I'm affiliated with. This is why you should like me. Okay. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I probably have said it before with debuts, but it's like them interacting with someone else usually gives me so much more of a sense of their personality than if you gave me like a video package rundown on like their career elsewhere and what belts they've had or whatever. So,
right.
And Osprey's vibe was so, like, some people come in and they're not giving so me funny. A lot, but his vibe, honestly, it was not what I expected from him at all, having no. seen him before, because it was like drunk girl in the bathroom, like he's here to have fun, like he's so happy. It was kind of wild. Like, yeah. I loved it. I was always kind of just neutral on Osprey. I mean, I enjoy watching him wrestle, but I don't have like a strong attachment to him, but I was like, loving this energy.
I was literally obsessed with when Don Callis came into the ring, the crowd starts booing, and Ospreay looked around at the crowd like, oh, shit, what the fuck? And the vibe was so, like, you made a friend at summer camp, and then you started at the same school in September, and you're like, oh, fuck, you're a loser? That's yeah. not going to work for me, bruv. That's 100%. Not gonna work for me.
I've never been at a show that Don Callis came out at, but I've heard so many people say that the heat is unreal, that like the whole crowd is like booing in unison. And I wonder if Ospreay was a little taken aback, where he's like, I heard that he got booed, but this is a lot.
Yeah. I can't hear myself think anymore. Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of funny, though, because he came in with, like, such an energetic, happy energy, and he was, like, and the crowd's going crazy, everyone's so psyched to see him, and then he's like, yeah, and when I was here, I totally beat Orange Cassidy, and he said it, like, and it was an applause line, and the crowd was kind of like, yeah, wait, no, I don't like that, and then he was like, and I beat Kenny, and everybody's like, no, I don't, I like Kenny, I don't like this, so it was kind of, like, an interesting little, like, not 100% sure what you're doing, but it's pretty funny.
It was funny. It kind of interacts with some other thoughts I've just been having this week about, like, well, you know, yeah, ultimately at the end of the day, wrestling is about beating another man up. And you do have to be able to, I guess, keep referring to that, even though in my mind I'm like, oh, don't say that you beat that man that people like up. But I don't think that was very coherent. I also thought it was, I was like, should he have said that? I don't know. But it kind of went fine because, again, he just seemed like he'd been doing tequila shots with everybody right before.
Right, yeah.
So when he, like,
when he drunk girls, like, sometimes say things that are like a little bit offensive to you, but like their energy is so happy that you're like, okay, sure.
They're when still picking you up in the bathroom.
When he held out his arms to Tony Schiavone and was like, come here. I was fucking losing it.
It was very funny. It was very fun. I don't know. I just immediately felt so pretty kindly towards him. And I agree, Leah. Like, I was like, okay, yeah, this is good. I mean, I already knew that that's kind of what was probably going to be going on with him. But I thought it was a very good little establishing vignette. And obviously, I do think that that match at Revolution is going to slap.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I think it's going to be... Yeah. Ooh, I think the men are gonna really be,
yeah,
doing some stuff.
Yeah,
getting it done, as I like to say.
They're gonna get it done.
They're gonna get it done. I agree that, like, I don't know that. I guess it wasn't like the most polished thing to bring up all the people he's beat in AEW, but like, I also saw a lot of people worried about, like, whether he was a pure enough baby face and, like, you know, whether it made sense to keep him with Don Callis. And I'm like, but they were telegraphing a lot of things in that. And, like,
yeah,
it's okay to, like, start a story and, like, you're like, oh, like, this is not a situation where he's going to stay with Don Callis. Like, I don't know. I just kind of was like, it's okay if he tells me a little story right away. Like,
yeah. And honestly, the story of, like, I thought I liked Don, but then I got here and I was like, oh, this isn't a good situation for me. Like, it's a pretty funny story.
Especially if he takes Kyle Fletcher with him, because, like, that's going to be so funny if he's like, Kyle, we got to get out of here.
And honestly, like, something needs to happen internally with the Callis family, because, like, it's really not working lately. Like, I love Don Callis and I love, like, watching him, but it's like, Takeshita is just like a minion at this point, and I don't think it's been like very good for him. So
yeah, I don't know what you do when you have a manager who's a very, very good manager, but then the wrestlers like can't, like, are not talkers. Like, it's like, because like the manager is like, he's never going to be able to wrestle in that way. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just although who knows? Who was it? Was it Rich that told us that, like, you never know, Don Callis could get back in the ring.
Oh, yeah. Someone did. Yeah. He's like,
I think it was Rich. Yeah, it was. I mean, I was going to say, it's like, obviously some of the problems with the whole Don Callis thing is it's like, it was Don Callis and Kenny is a central relationship. Central tension was like so interesting. And then some strange stuff happened with it where it's like, I don't know how well anyone was doing. And then Kenny, of course, had his diverticulitis and, you know, we're off the rails completely. I thought it was quite interesting and I liked it very much for Don Callis to be saying things like, "Will, by God, Ospreay." Of course, what he used to say about Mr. Omega. Yeah. It's very fun to continue playing with that, like, I replaced you with a younger model.
Right.
That's fun.
Like I wish they'd done more of that, like with Takeshita or someone, where it was like if they could integrate his minions better into the storyline he's telling that has matches with other wrestlers. Which, I mean, it seems like he probably would do with Ospreay better just based on this promo alone. So that'd be good.
It would have been so funny if Don Callis had taken Takeshita and been like, "Okay, you need to find a lover. A golden lover."
That would have been amazing. Yeah.
We are retracing Kenny's career. Pick a man and make him your lover.
Yeah.
Should Don Callis have acted like Takeshita Will Ospreay was a match that he'd made and that he was like, "I've imported this man to be your golden lover. He is,
oh, he's got God, golden curls. Beautiful golden
curls. Yeah. That would be.
Say, I got you a golden lover."
That would be such a funny
time. Start dressing more like Kenny.
He just starts bringing gear in.
Yeah. That would be so funny and so creepy. Like, that would really worry.
Really, really creepy. Wow.
And then they had a feud with Kenny, like Kenny comes back and Kenny's trying to rescue his little now clones of himself that are being manipulated by Don Callis, given various powders to drink that they don't know what they are. Yeah.
Why didn't somebody call a hotline about that? But MJF gave that blowjob promo, and there was that funny goof going around about, like, oh, the police were getting calls about it. It's like, somebody should have called about the powders. Yeah. Somebody should have called and said this man gave a boy powders. Unknown origin. Well, I think we got to move on. I don't think we can talk about that. Oh, who's gonna win, do you think?
I assume Will Ospreay, but I mean,
I kind of do too. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of sucks for Takeshita, I guess, but yeah, but hopefully it'll lead to some tensions within the little family. And
it does seem like this is what they need to get that storyline rolling again. Cause it has just kind of been on ice. So
for sure
they could swerve us and Will Ospreay could take Takeshita away with him.
Yeah, I mean, I would love that. He could choose go be golden lover golden somewhere lover. Else.
Yeah.
He could say, "I don't want to be, oh my God, it is. It's an arranged marriage," but then they fall in love. He says, "I don't want to marry you because your evil father, uncle, is making me. I want to marry you because I love you. And I want us to get away from him. I don't think that he is cool or chill. Yeah. I don't like his vibes."
I love picturing him saying that in his accent and just being like, "Bro. Bro, we should get married for ourselves, bro."
Oh my God.
Oh, get out here, innit? We can't get into doing accents on this podcast, but I have to say, Will Ospreay makes it very hard to resist the urge. All right. So sorry. So sorry to all of our listeners in the United Kingdom. Let's move on to talking about some of our favorite guys, FTR. FTR fought Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty on Collision and won. Afterwards, they cut a little in-ring promo just to build a little heat with the BCC. Cash called them a couple of cockroaches. And then Dax said, "If you are the king, if this is your castle to be a king, you gotta kill a king." Okay, I didn't hear it, to be quite honest. I only read it in the recap, but I thought I have some edits for you. Mox and Claudio also cut a promo calling themselves the elite of the elite and accusing FTR of wanting to live in the past. Very funny and true. Good work, boys. Mm-hmm. Also on Collision, Brian Danielson fought Jun Akiyama in order to beat Eddie Kingston's hero. And Eddie was on commentary for the match. Danielson pinned Akiyama, shook his hand, and then flipped Eddie off. And Akiyama was insulted. He was like, that's very unchill, which it was. So he slapped Danielson. And then Danielson was like, no, I'm sorry. Shake my hand again. And then he yambagged Akiyama. So Kingston jumped in the ring. And thank you so much to All Elite Wrestling. He grounded and pounded Danielson. Malay, FTR sprint to the ring to even up the odds for Kingston. Do you think that makes sense, girls?
No, they're fucking clout vampires.
They are. They just
vampires.
They're just running around backstage being like, who is more over than us that we could run out to for no reason? Oh my God, and they did not get much of a pop when they ran out.
What was my term I came up with? Shine miners.
Shine miners.
Yeah. I thought it was crazy. I think someone pointed out online that Mark Briscoe got beaten up on the same episode or a recent episode. They didn't come to save him, but they came out. It's just like, Mark, they only want to come for the beginning and the end of a show. Like, I get it.
Mark Briscoe cannot do anything for them. So therefore, and I wish that they would make this like kayfabe. Like, I wish that they ever
would play
with their characterizations, because it would be so fun for someone to call that out and be like, you came out to save Eddie because you know that people fucking love Eddie and that you could get something off this. But you let Mark Briscoe fucking die because you knew that it would do nothing for you to save Mark Briscoe.
Yeah, I think it is so annoying to think about. Like, FTR does lots of stuff that if it were kayfabe and like they were playing with the idea of like, this is maybe not a great character trait that we have, it would actually be quite interesting and I would enjoy watching it. But again, they're very committed to being the good guys what do you say?
They get insulted enough, like visibly insulted, when you just say all of your promos sound the same. You know, like, that is the one thing that people are allowed to ding them for. And it's very clear that they have to grit their teeth and be like, yep, that's what they're allowed to say.
What am I supposed to do? Not talk about my family? Whatever. Okay. So then they're in the melee. So then on Dynamite, we get BCC versus Eddie and FTR fighting together, in a match that ran 22 minutes for some reason, since, in my opinion, sucked ass from a wrestling standpoint. I hated watching this. And it's like, it was difficult because I'm like, I like BCC. I love Eddie. I love Eddie. And then FTR are there. But the whole structure of this match was so bizarre to me, where for some reason, every time I looked at the screen, I only saw Dax doing stuff. Dax was doing fucking everything in this match. I don't know. It's like, am I crazy? I was so bored.
FTR matches are insanely boring. And it's like, I don't know enough to be able to like intelligently be like, here are why your move sequences don't have urgency to get me invested in this. But it's like, they're all so long and they're not, and they feel long, you know, like other matches can be long and I'm like having a great time, but these ones are always like, my God, why am I watching Dax for 30 minutes again?
This one for some reason was especially, go ahead.
No, I straight up went, like, did some dishes and fed the cats and like made tea, and I like came back and I was like expecting to be like well into the next match, and I was like, this is still going?
It's crazy. I mean, yeah. I liked it, I think, more than you did, Ali, just because, like, the Eddie parts were really good. Yeah. Like, he was bringing a lot of, like, intensity with, like, Mox and with Claudio and with Danielson. So it was like, whenever Eddie was in there, I was having a blast. And then Dax would tag in, and I was like, ugh. Yeah.
I don't know. I wish that I was better at watching a match and being able to express, like, this is what I saw and therefore why I think it was objectively bad or whatever, but there were just so many moments where, and I don't have this problem with the BCC almost ever, especially because it's like they love to fight, so they show up and they bring energy to like almost everything they do. Even if I'm not super into the story or even super into the match, I'm like, yeah, it was like a fight, it was a real fight and they fought. Even they couldn't seem to overcome the like malaise that was like all over the, oh, hi, Cher, that was all over this match. There were so many segments where I was just like, is anyone moving? If they did that like synchronized sequence where they got in pairs and they were all fighting, and which is fine. I like synchronized stuff. I don't have a problem with that, except that I was looking around and I was like, there's no movement. Like, they just look like they're slow dancing. It's just like kind of awkward slow dancing. No one's doing anything. There was something about the choreography of the match that didn't sit right with me.
Yeah, it's interesting. It just seems like FTR has bad chemistry with, like, so many teams that usually, like, can work with anybody. And it's like, are they just, like, so inflexible? Like, they've always got to wrestle, like, their style and their match? Or they're, like, not creative enough to, like, do something interesting? I don't know. But, yeah.
I don't know. But call us generational haters, because we are. That's what we are, baby. Okay, well, this match ended via ref stoppage after Danielson, quote, trapped Eddie in a triangle sleeper. Can someone explain to me, when he trapped him in the triangle sleeper, did he go to sleep? Did he get knocked out? And that's why the ref stops? Okay, that is right. Okay, good.
Yeah, I think they do the thing where they, like, raise their hand, and if the hand slaps down.
Oh,
then...
yes. Okay, plop. Yes. Okay, perfect. Great. So, Eddie and Mox did have a little fight segment. That was great. That woke me up. They cupped each other's heads like that.
I mean, Eddie just always, like, manages to stare at people with so much, like, emotional intensity. And then, when they were cupping the backs of each other's heads and stuff, it's just like, I could really do with getting deeper into, like, another Eddie Mox situation here. Because it's like, here Mox is teamed with, like, Eddie's two biggest enemies, you know? It's just, like, it's rough when your husband, like... shacks up with people you hate.
I know, but it's funny because it's been happening for so long, and there were a number of moments where I think we were like, oh, this is going to turn into a real feud. And it is pretty fun that instead they were just like, no, we just fucking fight each other like men, and then we love each other. And I think all the time about that shot from All In where they've slammed each other into the table, they're both bleeding, and they're both flipping each other off, and then they just left together. They I'm like, that is love. That's love, and that's what I want to see between men in wrestling.
When someone screenshotted that, them, like, on top of each other, flipping each other off, and said, I want what they have, it's just like, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, BCC versus FTR, who is winning at Revolution, in your opinion?
I can't believe I'm in a place where I'm going to root for the BCC.
Leah, generational hater, Mox of both hater. Teams.
Yeah. And Danielson hater. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in quite a bad mood with Danielson right now, but for kayfabe reasons. So he's doing his job very well right now. But who do you think's BCC, FTR? You got to choose.
BCC better. I'm going to be rip shit if FTR wins.
If FTR wins, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. I'm going to be that football meme guy breaks his TV or whatever. I won't break my TV. I've had it for a long time, so I'll keep it. But, and what do you want to see from the men afterwards?
I want FTR to go away and me not see them
anymore. Go to that big cage in the sky.
They can go to Collision and stay there. Like, as long as Dax isn't spending 30 minutes of Dynamite every single week boring the shit out of me.
There's the first match on Dynamite so long. Why?
There's so many people that I would love to be given 20 to 30 minute matches, and instead these fuckers are getting them. Like, are you kidding me?
I need to know what the how are they getting them? What's the backstage chitter chatter that's leading Tony Khan, the man himself, to be like, yeah, go out there and have another 30 minutes. Why not? Enjoy.
It's like Tony's had so many, like, injuries or unexpected illnesses or whatever the last 2 weeks that he just, like, has walked out of his office and, like, who's standing right there, right up against the door? It's Dax. And he's like, fine, I have 30 minutes to fill. Just pick somebody and go out there.
Like, you think it is. Not to be it's coattail riding right now, as we've already mentioned, because it's like Tony Love when Mox opens. So if you're feuding with Mox, you get to open, and then it's like they're not editing their work. So of course it's always just like, yeah, cram it all in there, 20 minutes. This is going to be an A+ essay. No, I'm grading it. I gave it an F. I hated it. You're going to summer school.
Honestly, like, a lot of these guys, like, should realize that often, like, doing well with a small amount of time is better. Because it's like MJF really floundered because he had too much time in the show that dragged things down. And I think Dax, it's the same thing. If he was having a 15-minute match, maybe I'd be like, oh, parts of this were good. Or at least I wouldn't be, like, I mean, I'd still hate him and I'd still be furious. There's honestly not much he could do, but it wouldn't be so bad.
Well, it's just like,
I think you've raised a good point.
Yeah.
Bigger's not better, boys.
It's escalated to a grudge match, right? Like, they're all very furious at each other. For what? Like, you know what? Yeah, you know what Eddie's what? Mad no. about. Like, Eddie's no problem. Right. And you know that, like, Mox and Claudio are just love to do a violence. But I'm like, why are Dax and Cash, like, rip shit mad? Why are they great? Like, well, like, the original thing for the feud, wasn't it just that Mox and Claudio were like, who loves to fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they ran out, but they were so mad when they ran out. It was just like, this doesn't make sense.
Well, when Dax, when they cut the Cockroach King promo, I read some of the other texts of the promo. And so Dax was being like, you didn't think that anybody was worthy of fighting you or something like that. And you're always like going around disrespecting people backstage and like, because you don't think we're worth enough because you think you're the king. So I have to beat the king to be the king. And it's like, what? So you can disrespect people? Like, the logic here is, it's like, consider democracy, dude. You're just as bad as the guy that you're trying to decapitate.
That's an interesting little promo though, because it is like Dax's raging insecurity is what makes him unpleasant to watch, and it is like
he doesn't want to dismantle the system; he just wants to replace Mox in the system.
Amen, sister. Yep. But then I also was just like, that's not even. I don't even. It's difficult because I'm like, well, that's not what the BCC are though. It's like they're like, you should fight us. Because they will respect people. You know what I mean? Like, I think that maybe they've tried to, like, the BCC has tried to heel turn a little more at various points, like, and not respect people. But ultimately, it's very difficult for them to maintain that characterization because you watch Mox wrestle and you're just like, yeah, if you wrestle good,
I mean,
he does respect
last,
you. That's simple as that.
Their last big feud was with the Elite, and that's how that ended, is that they gained the Elite's respect. So I'm like, of course, like, if you just did a normal, like, violence match, the fucking Elite wouldn't respect you. So
like, Daniels is being believable as a bully, but like, Mox is not at all. Or Claudio.
Well, and like, it's actually consistent that, like, Danielson, for whatever reason, does not think that Eddie is doing the violence that he's capable of, right? It's like, isn't that, like, the root of Danielson's whole thing? So he's saying, like, I don't respect Eddie because he won't reach the heights that I know he's capable of. Although, you know, his cause and effect is kind of insane because he's like, so I'll murder him instead.
He really hates, like, when people don't live up to their potential.
I would kind of, you know, it's kind of a thing where you're like, at this point, I think Eddie kind of has lived up to his potential Bryan Danielson. So I think your real issue is deeper seated and it's something different. But yeah, I think it's like FTR are just like, we should be the bullies. We should be the big boys in charge. Everyone should kowtow to us, but sometimes they kowtow to you and we don't like that. It's like, fuck off. I don't know. It's like, I know that sometimes you're describing something and you're like, yeah, I know this is a lot of wrestling, but some people do it enjoyably and other people don't. I don't know what to tell you, you know? At the end of the day. And then who do you think's winning Eddie versus Danielson?
Okay. Sarah said today that she thought Danielson was going to win, and it honestly devastated me because I didn't think about it. I did not for a moment think Danielson was going to win. And now I'm nervous and scared.
I've worried about it, but I don't think that he should. I mean, I think the problem is kind of that Eddie has done some stuff recently where it's like he's leaning into the Mad King bit. It's like, if Danielson beat him again, that would send him down a dark path, like stuff like that. And I'm just like, honestly, I'd kind of rather see Bryan Danielson go down a dark path at this point, which I think it would lead to more interesting storylines, because if Danielson went really bonko, that could implode the BCC, and I think it would be fun to implode the BCC at this point. So for a lot of reasons, including my own enjoyment and love of Eddie, I think Danielson must lose, and he must be forced to give a handshake or refuse to give the handshake and be a man of dishonor.
Yeah. Rough for him. And honestly, like when Danielson lost to Eddie one time in the Connie, he like really spiraled after that one. So it's like he lost him the second time. Yeah. I mean,
I
would like to see it.
And I think it would be very sexy if he refused to give the handshake and like, you know, freaked out and left. I'm like, I fundamentally don't believe that Mox would respect that. I think that would cause major problems in that faction. Major problems. Because remember when Mox lost to Eddie and it was just like, fuck, you did it. Like he loved when someone fight good and he had a great fight and he's a tired dog. I would love to see him be like, it's fucked up that you didn't give him the respect that he earned from you.
Yeah. When Eddie won that handshake and it was an agreement and then Brian Danielson, disrespects Eddie and dishonors his own promise. It's not acceptable.
And it would be such a good moment for Eddie too, because Mox tried to keep the peace, but fundamentally he's been choosing the BCC. So for him to have a moment where he was like, no, I'm on Eddie's side about this. This was fucked up. Like that would be really good.
It would be good.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the other thing, the thing that's going on, like, you know, behind the scenes, right, is that Danielson's going to stop full-time wrestling at around All In. Is that right?
I think so.
So presumably whatever's going to happen here, like, a lot of consideration is, like, what is the final leg of your full-time wrestling career going to look like? What big match are we building towards? Or, you know, it's like, are you going to go out like a good guy or a bad guy, or like that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. And I have no sense of, I don't know. I don't fucking know. So I don't know. I'm sure that I think they're very good storytellers and they're great fighters and whatever they do, I'm sure in the long run, they will do really interesting things with it. But I desperately want to see Eddie win and Danielson have a full metal breakdown. That's what I want.
Yeah. That's what I want.
And I think I deserve it because I'm a good person and I had a rough week.
Yeah.
So, Tony Khan, if you're listening, that's why you should do what I want. Okay, this week on Rampage, our EVPs Matthew and Nicholas Jackson fought some jobbers and won with their newly renamed finisher, the Tony Khan Driver. See ya, Dave Meltzer. Dave Meltzer is cooked, am I right? afterwards, the Bucks invited Tony Schiavone into the ring and gave him a $25 Amazon gift card to apologize for their behavior the week before. We also got some social media updates from the Young Bucks this week in which they promised a backstage pizza party to reward good behavior at some point in the future. For high performers, yes. Very funny stuff. Were you happy with the renamed finisher? Did you guys like that?
It was so funny. I loved it. The
only, they did a big build for it. They said, you've got to tune in to see our new finisher name.
And it sucks, maybe now people, Meltzer.
Maybe now people will think that they're in a romantic relationship with Tony Khan instead of
They already knew. I'm sure they already knew. I saw Tony Khan and the Young Bucks in a closet making babies.
It was truly the craziest moment of my entire life when I read that tweet. Matt Coon was like, the Young Bucks and Meltzer have an intimate relationship.
Just when people were like, what did you see? And he was like, I can't say, but
I can't say at this time or something. And I was like, what did you see? And didn't we end up getting the answer? And it's just that he saw them talking.
Talking in the back of a wrestling show. It's like, well, that sounds pretty normal. I don't know.
It really speaks to male damage in our society. That it's like, you saw three men talking and you were like, uh-oh, intimacy alert.
For men to talk to one another? That's not what men
Nobody
do.
Talks to me like that, so this must be torn.
Please, Dax does talk to him like that.
Yeah, true. Dax. All right. He and Dax have an intimate...
They do have an intimate relationship.
That $25 gift card thing, like, I yelped in laughter. Like, the noise that came out of me was a dog howl. Like, I was just
You got that dog in you, Leah?
I got that dog in me. It was just so funny. And they knew it was funny while they were doing it, too, which I really enjoy.
the smarmy bad boss stuff they're doing has just been phenomenal. Like, they're killing it.
I know. It's so, I mean, do you guys want to talk about the punk comparisons or not? It's been kind of interesting because it's like we haven't gotten into it on the podcast at all, because it's like these are really good characters. Even if a lunatic had never said that you guys couldn't run a Target, these would still be funny characters.
Yeah.
But given that he did say it, they are extra funny, certainly.
Yeah.
I think it's a good kind of worksheet where it's like, yeah, if you don't know anything about it, it's still funny and entertaining. And if you do know it, you get a little Easter egg, but you know.
Yeah, it works perfectly if you have no idea. And I have said this on the pod before, but like the very first promo, I wasn't sure it was going to work because I could tell how angry they were. And every promo after, I've just been like, oh, this fucking rules. Because like the impish way they're playing with this, like when Matt pulled out his wallet and he just had that look on his face, like, oh, this is going to be so funny. I'm like, this is the exact vibe I was like. That's the Sports Illustrated interview where Nick was like, we're having fun again, which I never thought would happen. I'm like, yeah, you could tell. You could tell in every single thing they're up to that they are having a fucking blast. And like the idea that they are making fun of CM Punk while having the time of their life, that's the worst thing you could do to CM Punk because like just wants to make you miserable. So
it's so true.
And I think it's good too. Like, they're not leaning into it like too hard. Like, there's a few things, you know, but it's like overall the character they're playing isn't really punk. You know, it's like a spoof of like what people think that they're like. And then like the punk stuff is just like a bonus, which I think is healthier than leaning into it too hard.
Yeah. And I think it's great because it's like there's just a lot of stuff about it too where they're like, yeah, it's wrestling. We're just going to go really broad. It's a really broad caricature that a lot of people are going to relate to unhappily in a lot of different ways for a lot of different reasons. And it is true. It is working amazing. And they are so funny. They're so funny.
They're so funny.
Those are our little boycotted sons. And they're so funny.
I love our masculine sons.
God. Remember when it's like you used to get to say like, oh, like look at Matt and his beautiful full feminine beard. But now you have to say like, he has a masculine goatee. But I still love him. And I love him just the way he is. I always will till the end of my days. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Bucks then spent Wednesday night cruising the Dynamite backstage looking for Sting. It's a little Are You My Mother situation. So we got a segment where they checked in with Renee explaining that they needed to give Sting an exit interview while whacking their little bats against their hands. Suggestively, they interrupted, I think there's another Renee interview with Eddie Kingston, and asked Eddie why he doesn't dress better when he comes to work, and considered the possibility of establishing an AEW dress code before leaving.
It was like right after his match, so he had like his straps down and kind of like halfway up his chest. Like it's not Eddie's most flattering look, so it was pretty funny to be like, what are you doing walking around like this?
I did really enjoy the way Renee was like, I told you should have bought those Louis Vuitton.
Oh my God, it was so funny.
Yeah.
And then, they tracked down Sting's dressing room and the whole back and forth they had where it's like Nick was going to charge in and Matt was like, I think, you know, we want to be prepared for whatever's happening in there. Whatever he said, it was so crazy. They burst in there, and I guess this is a callback to some, if I had to guess, WCW promos or something along those
lines. Good job, Allie. Good job.
Was that right?
I think that was right. People should be so impressed with us whenever we come up with anything from further ago in wrestling than you 4 years.
I want to say at the start, every week at the start of this podcast, we tell you it's a no facts, all feelings podcast. And yet every week we somehow onboard more facts that we deliver to you, the listener. You make a liar of me.
We've come a long way. We've come a long way.
We've learned a lot of facts, actually. Yeah.
We unfortunately know quite a bit these days. So it's like a callback to a WCW promo or something where all the bats are, all these black bats are hanging from the ceiling and they're looking around. And what did Nick said? What did he say? Oh, so he said Sting was playing mind games. And Matt was like, yeah, it's sick. He's playing mind games. And then there was a shot. I'm so obsessed with it. I can't stop thinking about it, where there's just a mirror there. And Matt just looks into the mirror. So then he's looking out at you from the mirror with this expression of like, really? I know it's so stupid to be like, wow, and that was television production. They really produced some TV for me there. But to be honest, in many backstage promos, I would not say that people are doing art shots, really.
Sometimes I do love to notice like how wrestling has lowered my standards, where I'm like, wow, that was a shot. Or like, wow, that storyline really came together. And then when you look at like what the storyline actually was, you're like, well, that's kind of like baby's first like cat sat on the mat story, you know, like when you're learning to read. Yeah. But it was
your
good,
response
though.
Is like, wow, who produced this? A24?
Like Martin Scorsese's produced AEW presents.
Oh my God. Well, you know, but wrestling has its own beauties that no other art medium mm-hmm. could ever hope to. You're not seeing fights in most movies, really, at all.
You don't think so? A lot of movies do have fights in them, actually, as you say it. Yeah.
Not ones like we see in wrestling.
But they're not live, and the actors are not doing their own stunts, and can say that
often
definitively.
Fully clothed, top to bottom, yeah. As they're fighting.
Top to bottom,
rarely seeing bare thighs, legs, midsections.
Wow.
You know, their hair is often dry as they're fighting.
We literally
start wet. They're dry and clothed the whole time they fight. And
that's true.
When
you watch a dry clothes fight, you're just like, this is nothing. Disgusting.
Nasty, nasty stuff. It makes you sick.
We literally just said we've gotten so smart. We've gotten so smart. And
it's
then we say,
pride
there's not a lot of
fall,
fighting in movies
is what
these
that
days.
Was. But see, we're smarter about wrestling. And what corresponds to that, as I've learned
dumber
from the IWC, is dumber
else.
About everything else. Like, you've got to get rid of some movie knowledge to make way for some wrestling knowledge. Which, like, until you're like, wow, the Young Bucks theme, it sounds just like Roman Reigns theme. And people are like, you dumbass, it's the Succession theme. They're both based on Succession.
It's true that it's like the 3 to 7 hours one spends a week watching wrestling. You would otherwise spend those doing anything else.
Literally anything else.
Other things you might do in those hours could very well be extremely enriching to the mind. But that's not what we feed ourselves. We feed ourselves this sport we love, this beautiful art we love.
In a way, is not wrestling giving us CTE as well as the wrestlers?
Oh my God, we must carry on. All right. With our powerful, non-injured minds, we must continue to discuss the fact that, so at the end of the show, Matthew and Nicholas go out to the ring, and they're whacking their little bat around, like they're searching for Little Bunny Fufu, or they are Little Bunny Fufu. I don't remember how the rhyme goes. Little Bunny Fufu is the one who whacks, so yeah, they are the Bunny Fufus. They are whacking people wearing sting masks in the crowd, and they whack one and he takes the mask off. It's a little Darby Allin. He barrels out, fighting, get him in the ring, double teaming him. They're EVP triggering him. They've taken the boy out. They're still beating him up because they're so bad. Whose theme should hit? Could it be Ric Flair's? Oh, because they had that. We can't even get into that. So then Ric Flair comes out. They think that Ric Flair's on this side. Now, this is art. Pay attention to this. They think that Ric Flair's on their side, so he comes out, and they go to give him a bat to say, you can beat up Darby Allin, too, and you can get all the attention that you want. But instead, Ric Flair is on Sting's side, so he beats up Matthew and Nicholas, and then he gets beaten up because he is an old man, so he can't fight good. So then they've beaten up Sting's allies, and Sting's music hits, and they go up the ramp to try and find him. They're going to get him with their bats. But where do you think Sting is, girls? He's coming down from the rafters. And Sting zoots down from the rafters. And Sting powerfully beats up the Young Bucks with the help of Darby Allin, who's recovered himself because guess what? He's fucking fine. I don't know who's worried about, oh, Darby got all beat up in that. He can't get beaten. He can't get beaten up. He just gets right back up and he does a coffin drop. He coffin drops him.
His bones are made of rubber. He's fine.
He is fine. That little Gumby, he's okay. So then the Young Bucks are injured. They're hurt. They're clutching each other. They're basically screaming, I'll get you and your little dog too. They're out of there. Big moment for Sting. It's his final dynamite. And he and Darby and Ric Flair have prevailed.
I did see someone saying they were like, the Young Bucks spent 2 hours looking for Sting. It's like, if it's Sting, you look in the rafters first. What are you doing?
They don't know that because they're not smart men. They are, but kayfabe.
Again, they're stupid bosses. So they're like, they're inefficient.
They're just looking in the break room. They don't know that everyone goes and smokes out back. They don't know any of the cool hiding places.
Can we discuss what Nick was wearing?
I would love, well, would you like to describe it, Leah? I'd love if you would.
He said, he looked us in the eye and he said, bitch, I will be in Aphrodite's cabin. I will be.
Let me, knock at the cabin door, am I right? Let me in.
True.
He had a pastel pink suit with his little matching hat, and then he lost the hat at some point, and his hair came loose, and he looked like a Garnier Fructis commercial.
I wouldn't go quite that far, but
I stand Anne's by what
like
I said.
If I were the casting director, I think not. He's say, not getting sir? A callback from me.
I think that he's like one buck can like only look good at a time, and so like Matt's hair is like greasy and pulled back, and Nick says, "Look at what I've got going on." Look at it.
He says, it's so fine and silky. The hair tie can't even hold it. It slips free.
Also, I lost my mind because Ric Flair did the world's worst beatdown when he like, I don't even know what move he was doing to Nick, but like he essentially just like flicked him and Nick had to be like, ah, no.
No.
When I was watching that man like fake punch, like the fakest punches I've ever seen in my life, I was like, wow, you really got to admire Sting, who never looks ridiculous out here, even though he's of similar age to Ric Flair.
That's, so, I can't really, like what are the ages of the men?
Well, Ric Flair is a little bit older. He is 75. Okay, so he's like 10 years older than Sting.
Well,
still.
He looks about 30 years old.
He certainly does. And that's sometimes the wicked don't prosper as much as the righteous, which is reassuring.
You know, I wish that were the case more, but I like it when I see it. When I see the wicked not prospering, I love to see it. I wish I saw that more. Often I do see them prospering, to be quite honest.
I know.
With you.
It's kind of the more common situation. Yeah.
Well, anyway, what are we talking about? What is happening?
How beautiful Nick looked, but we can move on.
How Nick
and how bad Ric Flair was at punching.
Oh, I don't want to see Ric Flair. Let me just be so, you know, it's just like a blanket. We don't want to see Ric Flair. We don't like things that we've heard about Ric Flair. We don't know Ric Flair. We don't need to know Ric Flair. Ric Flair shouldn't be here.
I know it's Sex Offender Appreciation Month in wrestling, but I still don't think we should have Ric Flair out here.
I don't think Ric Flair should be out there. The one thing that I will say about this segment is just that it is funny to me when I see the Young Bucks. I've seen many clips of the Young Bucks fighting little toddlers, and the toddler kind of like taps a Young Buck, and they go, "Oh, you got me!" And they really sell for the toddler. This was very much like that with an old man instead of a toddler.
Yeah. That BTE bit where -1 took them both down. That was essentially the same exact match. Same exact thing.
Yeah. That's about the long and short of it. So it is what it is. What else do we have to say about that? I just love the Bucks.
Yeah. It's good.
I'll tell you for free. If they wrestle in shirts or vests on Sunday, I'm going to lose my mind.
I'm worried
for
us.
This is This is the line that I've drawn. I think that I have taken a lot of the changes with the Bucks very cheerfully.
You have. Yeah.
Matt has put away his hair, and I've accepted his beauty, it. You know, like,
there's a lot of cheerfully things. Is a little far, but you have been very brave.
have been very brave. I've really worked on it. If they wrestle in tops for the rest of this heel
tops. Makes it sound like they're wearing like Ann Taylor blouses.
Well, I was just thinking again about that tweet I saw that's, I hope Sting wears gear to the pay-per-view. As opposed to what, he come nude? As opposed to what, he come with his dingle dangle?
Yeah, I guess I would hope that all the wrestlers wear gear on Sunday.
I hope the Young Bucks wear gear on Sunday. No, I don't.
You want their dingle dangles out?
They'll never get their dingle dangles out. Trust me, I've accepted that.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. It's like, we usually have more than one brain cell, but tonight it might be down to just one. Okay, Leah said, get those vests off and bury your chests at the pay-per-view. And I must say I agree. And I don't love when I think about how a mere few months ago, every week on BTE, Matt Jackson was flexing his pecs for me and being like, that one's for the Tumblr girlies. I do miss that. I think it's okay to say that I miss that. I do miss that. I'd love to see those pecs.
I'd love to see really them.
Really? Respectfully?
Not getting pandered to, I'd love enough to see them at this juncture.
I've only ever looked respectfully.
I accept that he's, you know, given up BTE, fine. But he could... sorry, my cats were fighting for a minute. It was really distracting. He could just, like, just post, like, a couple, like, Instagram things every once in a while that's like, don't forget, I have beautiful tits, and, like, that would be okay.
He could just post on Beautiful Tit Remembrance Day. That would be enough.
Is that leap Never day? Is that not the celebration?
Never forget my beautiful, big, beautiful, full naturals. Heavy naturals.
Do you think we should start this episode over?
Yeah, I think maybe roll it all back. Yeah, see if we can say something intelligent. Allie's in hysterics.
Okay, but so he could just only post to semi naturals sometimes on Instagram and you'd live, but
instead he hasn't been.
So true.
I don't He's know what she wanted me to say.
His big juicy naturals.
She pointed me at me like she wanted me to finish the sentence.
You were halfway through a thought and I thought I knew what the other half of it was, and I thought the other half was, but they should still wear normal gear sometimes so I can see their abs and stomachs and stuff while they're doing their moves and their arms and stuff. You can see the arms now because they keep the vests on.
I don't know why I was like, you want to see their abs? Okay, pervert.
It did feel a little too intimate.
I was like, I don't think you can say that.
I kind of had the same reaction. Like,
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That made me uncomfortable. Don't juicy titties every now and then.
Does everyone feel more comfortable now? He's having to see their juicy titties. You're right. I don't want to see their abs or their stomachs. I just want to see their juicy titties.
Okay, well that's normal, and I'm glad that you said it. That
they could come out with kind of like a horizontal vest instead of a vertical one where it just kind of wraps around the abs and the stomach. That would be all right.
Like a corset. It was at Stadium Stampede when, I think, this might be wrong, but Matt was still really selling his back. So he does have his whole midsection wrapped up like a mummy, and you do just see his little boobies.
Well, wrestlers' ribs are in their stomachs, so sometimes they have to tape them up.
What happened here?
Nothing good.
It went off the rails.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here. Okay. All right. Okay.
Should we talk about who will win?
That's such a good idea, Anne. Let's ask ourselves who will win at Revolution. And why?
I thought it was pretty much agreed that Sting didn't want to win, that he wanted to do the normal thing and
I thought
go
we all
out
agreed
on
he
his
would...
back.
Exactly.
If at this point, if I don't get to see a man go out on his back, I can't continue to live. I've heard so much about how fun it is to watch a man go out on his back. So Sting, lie down.
Have we ever actually watched anyone retire? I feel like we haven't, actually.
No. We've never seen someone go out on his back.
We did see that, yeah, for sure. And yet somehow, he's still out there wrestling.
I do not think that we've ever watched a man retire, and I want to see it done right.
Yeah, it's got to be done right.
So true.
Sting was the first debut we ever saw, and he's the first retirement we're ever going to see. He's got to do it right.
And he didn't disappoint us once.
He really didn't.
He is the dad who stepped up.
So true. Yeah. So true. He's taking
our
care of us.
First father lover. Yeah, boy.
We love you, Sting. You've never let us down, and you never will. So that's how I know you're going to go out on your back. Do you want to talk about it serious? Do you have any serious thoughts that you think that we should share about this? I think, personally, I think that it would be good for everybody if the Bucks won. I think that it would be good for the Bucks if they won. I think they get a lot of heat, which would be nice for them. And I think that they have had a really rough couple of years. And I personally would feel like really warm and nice about Sting being like, I like you guys, and I think that you should send me out on my back.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. I think the Bucks would hugely benefit. I have endless faith in them, and I think that they could come back from anything. But why should they? You know, like, this is a moment where you could reestablish that they are dominant, that they are taking back over the tag team. People who are actually tag partners are going to be wrestling again.
Please,
like,
God. Yeah.
That is what the tag division is for. And Sting wants to go out. Sting wants to go out on his back, as we've established. And Darby doesn't want to win. Bitch has to go to Everest. He's trying to die.
Just logistically, they can't have Sting and Darby win because Sting's gone and Darby's going to go die
Darby's
on the mountain.
Darby's got plans.
So, like, what's going to happen to those belts?
He's
trying to go out on
Sherpa.
His back too, in a sense.
Trying to get avalanched down into a crevasse or something. What's going to happen to the tag belts? We can't have them lost on Everest.
Well, one thing that people have suggested is that if Sting and Darby retain, then there should be a tournament that everyone competes in to get the belts. And to that I say, no, I don't think so. I think that Sting's going to have to lie down on his back.
Get those shoulders down, Sting.
Lie down for
hit
the Bucks.
Mat, buddy. Sting, we're joking. We know that whatever you want to do is fine. And if you don't want to go out on your back, you want to go out on your front. We're not going to be mad at you. We're still going to love you. We'll always love you. No matter what you do, okay? Boy mode, girl mode, on your back, on your front. Your girls are going to love you. You can do anything you want. We would just like to see you go out on your back, though.
Well, I think this has been a very normal segment.
We've never seen it, guys. We just want to see it.
We want to see it. We want to see the sights.
Can we see it just once? Everyone has said it's so good. Can we see it just once, please?
I would like to see a man on his back.
And I want to see him go out that way. I want to see him lie down. I keep imagining Anne Shirley in her little boat going down the river to kill.
Yeah.
I say, Sting, very romantic. Could you get in that boat? Could you just put your little hands across your chest?
Okay. If Sting went out with his hands over his chest reciting the Lady of Shalott, I think that would do a lot for me. Yeah.
I did just immediately picture him laying down in the middle of the ring and putting his hands over his chest and then goes, okay, Bucks, do it to me.
do it,
Bucks. Time. Make it quick.
You know, one thing I'll say, Anne Shirley was right to do that because The Lady of Shalott is such a good poem. And when you read it, you really do feel so romantic in your soul. What is that? How does it end? It's like, he's like, Lancelot looked a little space. He said, she has a lovely face. She's dead. She died for love of him. God in his mercy, lend her grace. The Lady of Shalott. That's how I want to see Sting go out. And I will look at him and I'll say, she has a lovely face.
God in his mercy. Is that what you're going to say to Sting? That's what you're going to say to Sting?
Lend her grace.
This has gone off the rails.
Way off the rails.
What happened?
I don't know.
We were doing fairly normal stuff. Like, Takeshita Osprey was normal. FTR was normal. What went wrong?
But can I be honest?
We started saying on his back, and you just couldn't get
it was away. Before
we
that.
Got addicted it was, to it.
Started with
it, was,
the, it started yeah. with Leah talking about the boobies, and then it was all over from there. But can I just say, I really needed this tonight.
This is our therapy podcast, and sometimes you're going to listen to a little segment that was for us.
I had a really hard couple of days. I needed to laugh, and I definitely got that. So we personally think that Sting and Darby will lose, but maybe they won't. And Sting, we love you either way. Should we move on to the next topic?
Yeah.
Okay. Buddy. So Tony announced on Wednesday that Nick Wayne and Orange Cassidy would be fighting on Dynamite. I don't think there's any reason that we know. Like, I don't think there's any kayfabe reason that this happened.
No, they're kind of both involved in separate feuds, aren't they?
Not anymore.
No, and there was a very funny moment in one of our group chats where somebody was like, the card for tonight seems pretty barren. Tony's got to announce something. Like, maybe, like, Danny Garcia versus Nick Wayne or OC versus, I don't remember what she said, but like I was, and then they announced this and she went, oh.
OC is really afflicted by being Tony's favorite little guy who he just grabs when he needs an emergency match. And it's like, nothing needs to make sense. We're just going to throw you in here with somebody.
Well, I think to me, it did kind of feel like Tony was like, okay, got to get some guys on the show. Got to get OC on the show. He's a draw. He's my special boy. Got to get him out there. And he's in a feud. Who could he fight in that feud? And it's like, no one, because what has happened in that feud? The feud is a damn mess. Pardon my French.
He's already fought
such
everybody.
Such a mess. It's crazy.
It's a mess. So everybody. Then he said, okay, we'll bring the feuds together. So he announced Nick Wayne OC, a perfectly fine match, normal. The Patriarchy tried to interfere but got ejected. The Undisputed Kingdom ran out to distract OC. Rocky and Trent came out to help with that. Danny Garcia came out, and began to argue with Nick Wayne. I missed this whole part of the match somehow. So
I went back and watched it because I also had missed it. And it's so fast. Like, I didn't see Danny Garcia come in. It was just like all of a sudden, like, Trent and Rocky are fighting with the Undisputed Kingdom. And then they cut over to the other side of the ring, and Danny Garcia is just standing there. And he and Nick Wayne, like, kind of yell at each other for, like, 3 seconds. Yeah. And then OC, strange. Like, orange punch Nick Wayne.
That's even crazier bizarre. Because I'm like, Nick Wayne versus Danny Garcia would have fucking slapped. So, like, why didn't we do that? That would have been so normal.
I think that would have been good.
And it would make sense also to have, like, Roddy fight anyone to make Roddy literally seem anybody. Like he's good at fighting. Like, literally anyone. And Rocky, Trent.
It's, like, and when that match started, I was like, I wonder if this is one of the casualties of the injuries, like, or the, you know, people can't get there. I wonder if Roddy's not around or Daniel Garcia's not around. No, everybody was there.
They're all there.
Everybody was there. Yeah. It was, it's a little dark that towards the end of the match, right before Roddy came out, we were all being like, and Roddy didn't fucking show up. Absolutely crazy. And then he did show up. But it's like, we weren't surprised that Roddy wasn't there because we haven't seen Roddy very much in this feud. And also, then I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, Roddy's not even in charge of that faction. Adam Cole's in charge, but he's been on TV too. He's not even here in his wheelchair. Adam Cole disappeared. Dustin disappeared. Roddy doesn't like coming out. He's at work, but he doesn't like coming out to the ring. Orange Cassidy is just like, I'd love to fight someone. I guess there's no one in this feud for me to fight. So he fight other men. Randos.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I don't know what they're doing. It just seems like, I don't know who to blame for it, but it's like someone has really fallen down on the job here where it's like, I don't feel like Roddy has very good instincts for character and stuff.
You did it again.
Oh my God, it's back.
It's like, my God. You do like
the thumbs up, hitchhiker
thumbs up. What
oh,
the
there
hell?
It goes.
Fuck, she
is
got
it.
Just
it. Put it up?
Why does only you get it?
What the hell? We have good gums.
For everyone listening, Zoom, sometimes when I give a thumbs up, it will do a thumbs up like emoji floating next to me, but it won't do it for anyone else, and it doesn't do it for me all the time. Oh, hell yeah, it did it again.
But you weren't even putting your thumb up.
I know, it's weird.
That's fucking crazy.
This when is I put fucked. It down, huh?
This is beyond fuck. Okay, hell.
A little experiment
okay, this
with Zoom.
Is crazy.
Ooh, girls. Fuck you, Anne. Fuck you.
There's got to be a setting somewhere.
That's
we
weird.
Can't get into this right now.
No, this
we
is
can't,
really.
We can't get into this right now. Okay, well, Roddy did come out and he beat OC up. And that's where the AEW recap ended for some reason. But I do think that Rocky and Trent managed to run Roddy off. Jake Hager wasn't there, was he? No, he didn't come. No, he
not
wasn't
this
there.
Time.
Anyway, now Brian Cage, Roddy, and the Patriarchy are going to fight Chaos, Trent and OC, Daniel Garcia, and Hook on Collision. I don't know how Cage and Hook got involved.
That's wild.
And they,
it's just like, okay.
I was sure that they were going to have, because they've been building that little feud, and I think they've been doing a perfectly good job. We enjoyed it. Brian Cage has been, you know, he's really been putting his pussy into it. So I thought that they were going to be in the pre-show for sure, but they're not. They're in the Denny's All-Star match that we'll get to later. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So I don't know why this has happened. It's like, I want to be clear. I'm not being mad. I'm not being a bitch. I'm not being like, Tony Khan, you're the worst booker of all time or anything. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't think it adds up.
Well, so here's the thing, though. Like, I, the reason why I'm so concerned is that I, like, they've done such a bad job that if OC loses the belt to him, that's going to really piss me off. Because I'm like,
I know.
He did such a good job with rescuing this belt from what happened with the multiple people getting injured. And it, like, if you let him lose it to somebody who didn't even try that hard in this feud, I would kill myself.
They needed to build Rocky up a lot if they're going to give him that belt. And they just haven't built him at all. Like, he's just been doing nothing, basically, which is pretty wild. Because, like, when this feud started, I was like, well, at least Best Friends and OC will get to do something, like, a little bit juicy because, like, this faction. But it's like, instead, like, Undisputed Kingdom, Roddy, Adam Cole have all, like, gotten less and less time, and it's been nothing.
Who benefited? Matt Taven. Matt Taven is Matt the big Taven. Winner here.
I still think that Matt Taven somehow should have stolen that feud.
Matt Taven, now I'm a huge fan of. I think Roddy sucks. Rocky's fine. Matt Taven,
Rocky
though,
has a bedroom in the house now, so we can't say he sucks. He lives here. So we love him.
Crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. What was I going to say here? The thing I was going to say is also, though, that, like, OC is Tony Khan's specialist little Blorbo boy. So it's like, is Tony going to let him lose to Roddy, who hasn't been built up at all in this feud? Like, I'm like, I would be disappointed in Tony for letting that happen. Because it's like, is that your special boy or not?
Yeah.
Is he your special boy
or not?
It's good or not?
Do you jet him off to foreign countries with you in your private jet? Or no, you want him to give the belt to Roddy?
I was so certain that that's where they were going
when
this started. And now I just don't think so. Because like you said, Adam Cole's gone. Like, I thought that they were going to get Roddy the belt so that, like, the faction had a reason to, like, strut around considering that Adam Cole was injured. But, like, they've really, like, they let Adam Cole go back to injury land, and so I'm like, I don't know what we're doing here.
Give this one to Ospreay or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right,
he
That'd
could that would be fine. Someone had a good idea about it recently that I was like, oh, I'm actually really interested in that. I don't remember. Maybe it was Okada.
Yeah,
I could see that.
There's so many, there's all these men coming in, any of them, any of these men, Okada, Ospreay, any of the O's.
OC could look loose to him easy.
Men whose names start with O should fight other men whose names start with O. Orange,
O'Reilly.
Omega,
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly. Okay.
He's never coming back. I listened to an old episode of ours from like over a year ago, and were pining over Kyle. He'd been gone so long at that point. I was like, this is sad.
When Kyle comes back, it's literally going to be like a new man. Like, we're going to have to do new man alert, and I'm going to have my what I now call my Omega surge because I forget the name of
Omicron,
whatever COVID we were on at that time.
It's the Omicron surge.
Omicron surge, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have a brand new Omicron surge or something. Well, I don't know what's happening here. Okay, so we don't know who's going to win. You know what? I'm going to get myself in trouble and say no fucking way OC loses to fucking Roddy.
I really hope
eat
not.
My ass
I really
hope time. Not.
That would be you fucking dare. Embarrassing.
Be rip shit. Yeah.
You're going to be sorry if you do that, buddy. Okay. And then Danny Garcia and Christian, who will win.
I really hope Danny Garcia gets it. I guess Tony gushed about him in a press call today.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you should. Like, I don't know. It would be nice. It would be a nice gesture towards restore the feeling.
We restore the feeling every 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah. So we always
that
need to restore it again.
That feeling's always fluctuating. It's kind of like a heart rate. It go up, but then it go down again, you know? I think give it to him. I think give it to him because Christian's got his juicy stuff going on with Cope. Get the belt out of the picture. Have them just duke it out over their feelings, then kiss about their feelings, then be really bad guys together because of their feelings. And the belt can do something different. Danny can be doing something. He could lose the belt to anybody. You know, I mean, I don't think you should lose it, but you know, it's like give him that belt and let's just do something crazy. Let's go wild.
Yeah.
You know,
I just thought when you mentioned Cope, I was like, wow, we haven't seen Cope in a while. And then I got all excited thinking about seeing him again and seeing him with Christian. And I was like, that Percy Jackson really gave me a little Cope Omicron surge.
I hope he come to pay-per-view and I hope he do something really, if he could interfere, or he could do anything.
He could do anything.
Someone's going to be mad at me. They're going to say, "Don't that he shouldn't interfere." Well, maybe not. I don't know. Okay. So then let's move on to the title scene. Hangman limped out to open Dynamite with a little promo about how he hurt his ankle so he won't get to wrestle at Revolution. And he was quickly joined in the ring by Swerve, who checked out Hangman's bum ankle and then gave a promo that we'll really have to get into where he was basically like, I fought you because I respected you, and maybe things went a little crazy sometimes, but anyway, fate is what it is. And
it was interesting because he was like, well, we sure did a lot of fighting, maybe I went a little too far with it, don't worry about it. But it was like a little, it wasn't an apology, but it was like an interesting vibe where he was like trying to be cool.
Tonally, it was like, this is, I don't know, it was interesting because the vibe was very much like a little bit like, well, I did kind of want to fight you for it, to be honest. Like, that was, I don't know. There was a real, like, you know, respect between rivals, my nemesis vibe. Like, you're not trying to go, like, shoot cannonballs in the ocean at a guy like Samoa Joe you don't care about. You want your nemesis, for sure.
It was very, like, we've done some violence together. That really brought us closer.
Do you remember the good times? Because I think about it every damn day. Think about him every damn day. So then Samoa Joe came out and he promoed on both of them and basically accused them of canoodling. He was like, what are you doing out here? You're like hugging? You're like hugging and making up? You're like kissing and sniffing each other, nuzzling and hugging?
It was
and
fully a, what are you two doing? Finger popping each other's assholes.
Well, if it isn't the blowjob brothers. And
it was funny too, because like Hangman had just said he was pulling out of the match, and Samoa Joe was like, yeah, I'll fight either of you on Sunday. If I fight both of you on Sunday, like, that's great. It was just like Samoa Joe was like, I don't accept that, or I didn't hear it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what's going on here. And so then Swerve cut a little promo on Samoa Joe. He's yelling about all the things he's done, what he's going to do. He's going to get this. We'll get into this a little more in a minute. And then Hangman, of course, raises his crutch and whacks Swerve because he is fine. His little ankle is fine, which I actually thought, because I was like, if your ankle's fucked up, you actually really can't get a boot on it. You really can't get a cowboy boot on a fucked up ankle. And it was very prominently displayed. And I do think that everybody looking at it, including Swerve, I love you so much. If you see a man who says his ankle hurt, but he has managed to get on a cowboy boot with no zipper, you should ask questions, because I've hurt my ankle before.
Swerve, were you not looking at his feet? Like, because that's pretty dumb.
Not a foot guy, so what's
not
going on
here?
Not
a foot guy. What's up with that?
Anyway, so then Hangman laid him out, does more yelling. You'll never have this promo. Swerve is laid out. Samoa Joe does a little face journey from like, haha, this is so funny, to like, oh, fuck, this guy is maybe a little too crazy. So I'm starting to think. Okay. What do you guys want to talk about first?
I rewatched this before we came on tonight, and it was interesting because it was like Swerve was talking to Hangman in this like, ho ho, we bonded. Maybe I went a little too far, whatever. And then Samojo comes out, says like a pretty banal prono. And then I think what Swerve was doing was like that made him so mad that then he was like, I am a man who like beat up an 18-year-old in his dojo or whatever. Like I, you know, threatened a baby. Which I think sort of works, except I think it would have worked a lot better if Samojo had said something like actually mean that got him riled up. Because I think like
it's Samojo said, he said, I keep hearing about how you're both young, hungry championship contenders, but that's ridiculous. You both are battle-tested warriors in that ring, and there's nothing new about you. No, you're hungry, accomplished wrestlers, but the only reason you're hungry is because I'm starving your ass. Okay, Samoa Joe. But I was kind of like, okay, well, you don't need to prove to that. That man actually does know that you can fight.
Yeah.
Like, it was weird because then I went to, I read this promo on the AEW site, and I was like, huh, this is missing some lines that I was sure was in there because I knew that Swerve had brought up the home invasion angle stuff. And it wasn't in there when they did the recap. They didn't put, so I went and I watched it and I added the lines and they cut all of the lines that were like, I might have crossed the line a couple times. I beat the boy up in his dojo. I went into the house and threatened the baby. So I was like, what is going on here? That's like crazy. Now I'm like, because I'm like a conspiracy theorist where I'm like, well, what do you want? Like, what does he want me to know? But what do you want me to know? What are you trying to communicate? It's clear that Swerve was doing stuff in this promo that was like, okay, I am face turning in that, like the way that I'm talking about these things is different than it used to be. Like, because, you know, I'm saying like maybe I went a little far. I don't know. Did that work for you guys?
I think that both Swerve and Hangman are deliberately not following the face heel rules. And that is something they are trying. And I respect them for trying it because I honestly like when people mess with it rather than following the exact same scripts. But I do think that like sometimes it's been a little messy. But something I've been thinking about is like, I mean, not that this is particularly brand new information, but like in the Sports Illustrated interview with the Young Bucks, I think it was Matt was saying like the character that they're doing is the terrible bosses who are bad people who absolutely are convinced that they're right. And I'm like, yeah, that is the character that like you always have to do. And I think in some ways, people were bringing up like, oh, how can he say a face thing? Like, I want to be the first black champion, but also say a heel thing. Like, I beat up a baby. And I'm like, well, because like he thinks like he's right and that he was right to do all of those things. And he's explaining his viewpoint the way he believes it. But like, I think there's a step missing here where he has to like connect things a little bit better. There's something missing. It's not as dire as I think other people make it seem, but there's some connective tissue missing.
Well, because
and in this promo, I felt very much like, oh, Swerve's trying to do a thing where he's like, he's getting better, but also his true nature, like he's a bit of a hothead inside and like he wants to be threatening, you know? So it's like he was projecting to Samojo, like I'm tough and I'm mean and I like do bad things, but he was trying to be like cool with Hangman. But I didn't think that Samojo gave him enough to get riled up about to kind of lose it like that. And I'm not even sure, like he wasn't doing it strongly enough for me because wrestling is such like a caricature kind of characterization where it's like you really need to like project, like the Young Bucks characters are very broad. And it's like when you're doing a subtler character, it's hard to be like, are you doing this on purpose? And is it hanging together? And I don't feel like it quite is.
There is something, I mean, it's interesting to hear you describe it that way because I'm like, it actually would probably work for me for Swerve to be like, kind of more explicitly to Samoa Joe, like, dude, stop fucking getting at my ass. Like, I go crazy. Like, do you want to do you want to have an honorable fight with me or not? Because like, I'll do it. I'll fight you honorably and I'll win because I'm the best. But you're saying things to me that make me so mad that like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking do a home invasion. Like, I think there's a middle ground you could ride where it's like he's not apologizing for the things he has done. He knows that given the opportunity, or if like if he had to, he would do them again. But there's some like level of, And he is like, I don't know. He is getting into it a little. When he's saying like, maybe I went a little far. I think that like the mm-hmm. interplay between the two moments in that promo, both of which were cut from the recap.
Cut from, which is fascinating.
So because, strange to me.
Like when they cut things or it's like a swear word or something, it's like, sure. But those are like pretty key moments in what he said. And to cut too. Both of them is like, huh.
Yeah, but the interplay okay. between like anyway. Saying to Hangman, like maybe I went a little far, but then like, bringing them up as like, you know, points of not of pride exactly, but of like, these were moments of strength. These are things that I did mm-hmm. because I had to do them. I don't know that I think that they like, I don't know that I think they work together right now. I'm not mad about it. I mean, it's like,
there's like something there. Like if he's the kind of guy who, when he gets pushed too far, he goes crazy and he does something like way over the line, like yeah. threatening a baby. Like, I feel like that character could work, but he's not quite giving me like a loss of control enough. Like Hangman seems out of control, whereas Swerve doesn't.
But yeah. I think Hangman is, I think he has the same problems though.
Yeah.
Because like mm-hmm. the thing is that like Hangman's been doing something where Hangman's trying to be the good guy that he always is, but it's not getting the job done. And he's getting stressed out and he's out of control and he's furious and he's doing things that he doesn't respect him for. But this week was premeditated. He came out
right.
knowing that he was a liar. He looked us in the eye and yeah, said, I am yeah. not a liar.
Said, I always tell you the truth, yeah.
Right, yeah. right. And then but he was, you know what I mean? And I was like, I don't really That's know what true. Your yeah. end game was. And that was premeditated, whatever you were trying to do. And I don't know that that is entirely, because I would have rather to see Hangman impulsively do something that then crosses the final line rather than
premeditated
doing this, yeah. which was a premeditated heel. Like to me, I'm like, this was a heel act.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, I don't know. I would like to see that at the pay-per-view or something. Like, I don't know. It's just something is not how I would have done it.
I'm finding the whole thing so difficult because ultimately I don't think that these men should have to be like true faces or true heels. Like right. I don't personally feel that strongly about it. I think it is a good story and that's what I care about. But yeah. that like, there's something about like that I'm not tracking quite enough in terms of like how they are understanding themselves and how they're understanding each other. It's like, I'm getting little glitches where I like, don't exactly know what's going on there, but they're doing, then I like, you know, I rewatch it and I was like, well, you're doing lots of things that I would say should be done. So I don't know.
You know? It's an odd storyline because it's like one of my favorite storylines that AEW has done while I've been watching. But there are all these things where I'm like, but it doesn't quite hang together. And
it's
like,
crazy because it's like, this is the best thing on the pay-per-view, right? Like this is the best feud. Sure. It's been the best thing that's been happening for months. I love them so much. This is, you know, they should be, you know, winning awards for this. But like, because I love it so much, I want to dig my nails into it in a way that like, I'm not doing for anything.
Look
else.
At us. We've gone to a modern art gallery opening. We have our glasses of wine. We're looking at it.
There's
we're
no,
saying, it's provocative.
We haven't made one titty joke because we're straight up. We're like, we've got our Roger Ebert hats on. Yeah.
I don't understand it, but it speaks to me. Compelling. Compelling. Don't make sense. Compels me, though.
Oh, this podcast really contains multitudes. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't once said anything about anyone on their back.
Well, no one's going out, Anne. No, they're all staying in. So
true.
Whether
staying
the men
in
are on their backs
on whatever
or on their
side
friends
they
is
want.
Immaterial when no one's going out.
It'll be interesting to see where they go after the pay-per-view with these characters, because it is just like, I feel like they're kind of trying things and then they maybe don't quite work, so they try something else and it's just maybe that's doing some of it. It's interesting.
Yeah. But, well, you know what? We love to watch it and we love to talk about it. And when we don't understand faces and heels, really, that's what we're constantly running up against. And I'm at the limits of how much I can compare things to Spike on Buffy. That's the problem that I'm encountering. I mean, I've really gotten a whole thing where I'm like, that's what I was talking about earlier, where it's like, if the point of the whole exercise of wrestling is that men do violence, then I do understand that they can't always turn around when they're becoming gooder guys and say, like, it's bad that I did violence, they're still proud of their violence. They are, they're proud they did their violence that they did. But then it's like, could you get some mileage out of, like, maybe you say, like, I know I did those things, but, like, the shit that I'm fucking proud of is that I put you on your back, you know?
Yeah.
I put you on your back really good. Should is there anything there, you know? Would Spike from Buffy say that? What do you say? I'm really proud of when I put you on your back, Angel.
I mean,
maybe,
possibly. You might say some during shit.
Yeah. Well, so much wrestling too is just like, it's like vibes and it's kind of dream logic and people are like pulling off masks and they're underneath and they're like limping out and then they're hitting people with their crutches. So it's interesting when things like kind of grab me where I'm like, what, that dream logic didn't really hang together, but yeah,
it is. I mean, it is funny in kayfabe because like, surely. In kayfabe, the rules indicate that Tony, like, Heyman went to Tony and said, I'm not going to be in the pay-per-view next week. Could I have some time to talk to the crowd? And Tony's like, oh, wow, that's going to change everything. Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I guess I'll have to make some adjustments. And then Tony's sitting at Grillo watching the screens and he goes, what?
Poor Tony. This is why he's so stressed out all the time.
He
goes to
Chicago this weekend.
He already printed the shirts. He thought Heyman wasn't going to be there. He was going to have to recall the shirts.
Then he had to call the shirt place back and be like, don't recall the shirts. He was faking the injury. It's fine.
Especially, he was faking it. It's a hard life to be a little kayfabe booker, I guess. who's winning on Sunday? Who do you think?
I'm going to put all my little ponies. My ponies?
Put your ponies on. Hey, put all your
ponies. I was
going to
say pennies. I was going to say pennies, but I'll say ponies on Samoa Joe retaining.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I feel like I was leaning more towards maybe Swerve will get it, but really could go any direction.
I am leaning Samoa Joe as well. I want Swerve with that belt. You know, it's hard sometimes in wrestling because you got so much stuff going on at once. So you're always being like, well, you don't do that when it's Sting's moment or like, but then it's like, when is the next moment? But we are having about 50 pay-per-views a year. So I think there will be other opportunities upcoming.
Probably one in April, it sounds like. So hooray.
I'm going to put my ponies on Samoa Joe, but nothing would surprise me. And I think that whatever the men do, they'll tell me a story that I love to hear. Let's very, very briefly check in on the final couple of matches for Revolution. So first, we have the All-Star 8-Man Scramble, as I said, on the Denny's Big Boy menu. And that is, you're like, I'm like, that's it. I just want to say my joke, so I really have anything else to say about it.
It's a great joke, yeah. The meat match got pivoted into a scramble, so didn't have enough meat, got a supplement with a different protein.
Yeah, gotta get some eggs in these big boys. So Tony said some of the men who were supposed to be in the meat match were injured, so he put the meat back in the freezer for later. And instead of the meat match, we're getting the All-Star 8-Man Scramble. So Jericho had a match on Dynamite. He's going to be in the scramble. We got to see some, this is the only interesting thing really. We got to see some footage of Jericho, like back in his youth fighting the CMLL wrestlers. And he was such a Fabio. He was on a Harlequin cover a week, baby.
It's unsettling when you see young Jericho and you're like, oh, he could get it. But you know, you got to say what you see.
You have to.
And so unfortunately, and it was cute. And he spoke Spanish like pretty decently, you know?
And I will say, unfortunately, I sometimes have seen Jericho in his current iterations. And like some weeks I've said things like,
I mean,
you get it. So, and then other weeks I've said, like, he's caving in. His chest is caving in. It don't look right. Like, but then the next week, again, I'm saying, okay, but he could get it though. So, you know, oh, we've really known that man for the whole time we've been here, huh? That's our little Jericho. Anyway,
he's a constant.
He did have the main event, and we were so sleepy. We just wanted to get to the Bucks stuff, so whatever. But he is going to be in the scramble, and they're going to have a scramble. Anything else about this? You know,
I'm glad they changed it from a meat match, because without Miro, just not meaty enough.
No, I mean, Miro deserves to be in the meat match. After what he did,
it's his invention, basically, so
I think Tony, and I think Tony knows this clearly, you should be very careful with who you're putting in the meat match, because don't put men in who may be large in certain respects but are not meat. A tall man is not necessarily a meaty man. Okay.
No, that can be a lean, tall, 6'8 man.
We don't want any bean poles in our meat match.
No. I don't want, that'd be false advertising to call some Big Bill meat.
Don't put Big Bill in there. Don't put Jake Hager in there. Don't put Luchasaurus in there. Those men aren't meat. They're tall.
No, and it's like Adam Copeland's tall. He shouldn't be in a meat match. That'd be crazy.
No, he's I would argue about Luchasaurus
a little bit.
Luchasaurus could skate by if everyone else in the match is very meaty. Everyone else can be a borderline.
But he, when I look at him, I don't think meat. I think that's a dinosaur. Can't argue with that, can you?
Can't argue with that.
Got to move on to the next topic, yeah.
And the final topic is just that Tony Storm and Deonna Purrazzo are going to fight at the pay-per-view, but we didn't get any content from them this week. I believe they are going, they have a segment scheduled for Collision, maybe?
I know, and I'm like major bummed about it because I'm sure that it's going to be fucking deranged.
I'm sure it's going to be crazy.
And, you know, it's, as usual, it's Thursday night, so we're not going to see it before this episode goes airs. And I want to see Tony say something absolutely insane.
I know.
I mean, I'm so going to. I'm going to match. See it. But.
Yeah. That pay-per-view match, that's going to be
it's going to be good.
When they get their hands
thinking,
on each other.
I was thinking, while we were talking about Ospreay and, like, good debuts, I'm like, this is also an example of somebody who came into the company and you immediately knew.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she was, like, aligned against somebody in a good way.
But she gave some history real fast in something that was actively happening. Boom, baby. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That interacting with another person, you really just get a lot this of personality out of it.
Scream at everybody who's like, meh, 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 casual fans don't need video packages. And you're like, no, but they need a grounding.
They need to watch two people talk. They need to watch different people talk and understand you have these motivations. Like, if you get friction between two people, that is more beneficial than any video package that's cut like a Civil War documentary, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's how they're doing.
I just want to know what their deal is, you know?
Come on. Let me get to know you. Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. When I'm with you. Okay. Well, I think that's it. Did I fail to mention anything you really wanted to talk about?
I don't think so.
We got into it.
I'm worried. Girls. No, I had fun. I really needed it. Really, really bad. We are going to watch the pay-per-view this weekend. We can't wait. And we'll be back next week with our definitely amazing thoughts. Stupid ass thoughts.
Same high level analysis that you got tonight, probably. Yeah. So you can look forward to that.
We'll be back to swirl our wine, look at the art, call it provocative, and then scream about a man's titties. On that note, I have been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out some of the other great podcasts on the network and on the Social Suplex Network Discord. And as always, please come back next week.